Welcome back as we say hello to Nestor Aparicio, always doing great things, always bringing the noise with all things that are sports, particularly right here in Baltimore. The Orioles are doing well on the field, not so well off of the field. Nestor, welcome in.
How are you?
Fantastic. I'm doing well. I'm doing great. Spectacular, if you will.
You know, I had my 25th anniversary last week. I did all this radio. I had all these great, I mean, you were there. We ate peach cake. I mean, I was in the car listening to Resig and I with Mr. Statham singing show tunes and having a good time and thinking like, this will be great air this week. It's training camp. We're going to do Orioles stuff. The Orioles are relevant. You and I did a piece on Monday morning and the Kevin Brown thing, I've never seen anything become white hot in the way that it got white hot for John Angelos and has gotten. I mean, it went from you're in first place, you're taking pictures on national TV with the governor. Dennis, you kind of pooped on him that the family wasn't around him, right? He's up there with Mike Elias.
Well, it was an opportunity. That's it, to me, it was an opportunity, right? Show the family, connect with the fans, be part of Baltimore, right? I mean, the family as a whole has a great legacy, beginning with his father's law firm and then, of course, with the purchase of the Orioles. To me, it was just a miss. If I'm doing PR for the Orioles, I'm doing things differently. That's all.
Well, they don't have PR. They've never had PR. They've never wanted a legitimate. I had John Maroon out with me last Friday for 2 hours. They don't want a guy. They don't want a legitimate person trying to connect with the community. I mean, they really don't. It's not the way they operate. It's clearly not the way John Angelos operates. Dennis, I'm going to ask you something. I hope everybody reads my letter to John Angelos. So far, we've had over 12,000 people read it. I have the numbers on it. So 12,000 people. I was out in Hampstead at Greenmount Station doing the crab cake tour on Wednesday. Everybody at the bars talking about my piece and talking to me about it. And I'm like, I'll have plenty more to say because I've been here for 31 years. There's going to come a point where he doesn't own the team. Mother doesn't own the team because I think Major League Baseball's witnessed this Snyder thing. I think Manfred's got bigger fish to fry than a first place team in Baltimore with a broadcasting problem, but it's a credibility problem across the sport now because this has really become Baghdad Bob. And the NFL's done this too. Chad Steele, you're next. And if you like my letter to John Angelos, wait till you see the one on Steve Bisciotti behind the scenes that only I know about, that everybody else, you know, he's just a great owner. He's a hiding owner. He's not, you know, if that's a great owner, then that's fine. But like, we need more than that in this city. We need real leadership in the city where John's trying to go to the federal government. John Angelos is trying to go to the federal government and build like this something else that's not 395 in a loop in the parking lot. And Ken Rosenthal wrote about this at The Athletic. I can report it as fact because I know it to be factual. He's trying to usurp the Ravens deal. The Ravens took the quick money with Larry Hogan. Sashi and Chad Steele went down and got the check. Steve still hasn't even talked about, you know, his $600 million inheritance from our taxpayers. But John's refusing to sign the deal. John wants another $300 million that Steve didn't get, which would open a whole can of worms because there's no money for either one of them at this point. There are not states giving money to sports owners. Mm-hmm. Where else is this existing where there's not even a public debate?
Buffalo.
right. Oh, fair enough. Okay, fair enough. But like, this is insane, right? That we're giving our city's falling apart. We have a crime problem, a business problem, a reputation. We have all these problems. And the biggest problem we have is these sports owners just usurping all of this money to have a good time on Sunday and take their wealth from $600 million to $6 billion while we sit here and fly flags on our car and give them more money. It's not right. I mean, and I love sports, but it's not right. And especially in my circumstance where I try to report facts and all they do is try to retaliate against me. You know, I woke up on Thursday morning, Buck Showalter's wife is on my Facebook page writing out loud about how the Angelos family told her family that I was a bad guy, that they should avoid me while I was thrown out. Like, you don't think I'm a bad guy. The 100,000 people that have followed my words for 31 years where everything I do is in front of people. Everything they do is in private and they get $600 million and intimidate their lead broadcaster. But the real story for me is this. First off, whether Jim Palmer has COVID or not, We'll find out, right? Time will tell if they're lying to lie more to lie, because they've lied enough, right? I mean, Palmer, McDonald, all these guys, they go on the air, Palmer especially, because he's got real power. He's got real influence. He's got real credibility. Wow. He's got real salt. He's a Hall of Famer. He doesn't need this gig. This family has destroyed his credibility just sending him out there every night to watch this ish show for years and years and years. And now the team's good. He knows what happened to Kevin Brown. He's not even protecting this kid. Nobody protects anybody, Dennis.
Let me ask you a question. Why hasn't Kevin Brown given a statement then, if that's the case? Because to me, I'm a little bit hesitant.
He's scared
here
for his career.
He can get hired anywhere. He's got to, I don't think that's the case. To me, we haven't heard from ownership. We haven't heard from Kevin Brown. So to me, at least on the surface, we don't know what happened.
Whatever I hear from ownership's a lie, Dennis.
We haven't heard from anyone. Kevin Brown has.
It wouldn't matter to me what John Angelo says. What matters to me is what everybody's buzzed out about, hitting reporters like me to give me truth. This is so reminiscent of Peter.
But do we know for a fact
Ken Rosenthal's the bad guy? Nestor's the bad guy for reporting what Frank Wren's coming down the hallway and saying, these people are nuts.
Nestor, do we
something out of a horror movie? Frank Wren told me that when he left and he was in Atlanta, I remember this vividly. I was sitting with him at Yankee Stadium, and he said to me, it's like the devil's advocate. He said, have you ever seen that movie? That was my experience working for the Baltimore Orioles. And this was 26 years ago, Dennis. So, like, what the family says is a lie in most cases, or a cover-up, and that's unfortunate.
But do we know for a fact this is the reason why the reason why Kevin Brown got suspended was what he said during the broadcast? Is that a fact? Do we know that to be factual?
I do.
Okay. Because, again, he hasn't made a statement, neither has the Orioles. And to me, there's always three sides
well,
to the story.
Well, they've made
right?
the statement that he's calling the game Friday night. The way Peter would do this is Kevin Brown would say, I'm not showing up. And they say, well, now you didn't show up for work, which gives us cause to bang you out of the $400,000 we owe you. That's what they've done in every circumstance. Dennis, I've known all of these humans. I know how I've been treated. I know when they didn't pay my bill and I sold tickets for them. On good faith. And there's no there. You can't chase them. You get litigious is the only way to chase them. And John's hiding now instead of confronting this, but he has no credibility, as I pointed out. Last time he was confronted, he told us he would open his books for us. The commissioner of Major League Baseball can't get him on the phone. Okay? State of Maryland can't get him on the phone to negotiate a deal. They're trying to give him $600 million. He wants $300 million more. He wants the deal with the Ravens, the parity clause, struck down just unilaterally. Like Steve's going to be okay with that on his boat down in Bahamas. Steve's just going to say, yeah, that's good. You take all the cake and I'll take the icing. Okay, fine. Like, yeah, that's crazy.
That's not going to work.
Well,
the sad thing is
he's unreasonable, Dennis. I mean, that would be the story of John Angelos. Is he's never had to have anything reasonable around him. I mean, like, he's not. Did you read the lawsuit with his brother? Like,
yeah.
If you're capable of doing that to your family, to your brother, over $2 billion, you think you're not capable of trying to move the Orioles to Nashville?
It happens for a lot less money than that, I assure you.
Well, I'm witnessing this, and aside from all of that, we're, what, 10 minutes into this conversation. Baseball team started to sputter earlier in the week, right? I mean, Batista, the fans being down inside. Dude, it was a Free the Birds rally on Tuesday night that I had nothing to do with. I mean, it was – Dennis, it was nasty out there. They threw fans out.
Yeah.
For having signs. Right?
Well, that's the sad part of it is the team is doing well. Again, they lost two to the Astros. The Astros have been one of the elite teams in the league for the past several years. Still, the team's still 25 games over 500. Nothing to panic about at this time. And to me, that's the saddest thing. It shouldn't take the focus off the Brandon Hyde and the team.
But it has.
And what they're doing. And it should. But
it has.
Shouldn't. But it should. So my focus is still on the team. And the other stuff, it's noise, but it's bad noise. But to me, it's still noise.
But it speaks to the heart and the foundation of their credo, of their integrity, of how they do business, how they've always done business, and how
But this is
if
the
you
news,
have
though. We've
confidence,
known that. It's like when Bob Irsay.
How they may do business in the future.
Yeah, but it's like when Bob Irsay was the owner of the Colts. You knew the devil, and you still went to the games. At least I did. You did. You knew who Bob Irsay was. Just a sloppy drunk.
Well, I was 8 years old, but
didn't
yes.
Care.
I mean, it didn't take me long.
It didn't take you long. We found out in 1983. But we knew who he was, the 25,000 faithful that showed
what
up.
What do you do with someone when they have no integrity? What do you do with someone when their word is no good? You would not have any. Dennis, I've known you 20 years. You would have nothing to do with somebody. Nothing to do. You would not hire them. You would not. You wouldn't visit with them on Greek Easter if they had no integrity. You just wouldn't. You wouldn't spend your time. That's why you'd fish. That's what, you know, like. You would not spend your personal time with someone who lied to you over and over and over again. And this has been my charge to try to clarify this for our citizens with an FCC license, with my mother listening, with you and Mr. Coons and Crystal Coons writing checks to support what I do, that I have credibility and integrity and decency to be honest. And that's why I'm still here 31 years later, despite all the arrows I've taken. It's still this week writing about what this family does and who they are, and Major League Baseball's outraged. And there comes a point where this has to end.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I'm more concerned about them signing the lease than the Kevin Brown incident, to be frank.
I agree with you.
But this is part and parcel of what.
So then Kevin Brown leads you to the lease. And then this week, all of this happens about the lease, the money.
Right.
Rosenthal's writing a story. Connolly wrote all the background that's fact about how Masson has gone to all of these broadcasters. You know, Dennis, did I tell you this on Monday? I was listening to the game on Sunday. Because I was in Pennsylvania, I listened to the game and Mateo hit the triple. And if you were listening to the game, you just would have thought it was a triple. Twitter went crazy because he jaked it. He watched the ball. He held the bat. And an inside the park home run turned into a triple. And on the broadcast, I'm listening to the team broadcast. And they're not really telling me what happened. Because they're afraid if they tell me that the Oriole player jaked it, they're going to lose their job because that's not positive. The beer's not cold.
So this peels the scab off the John Miller situation that happened many years ago where they fired him because he wasn't a homer.
He didn't bleed enough orange and black.
He didn't bleed enough orange.
So Peter says.
And Miller said back then, I recall vividly, he said, I can't call the game. I can't call the game the way that they want me to call the game. It's impossible for me. I can't do my job is what he was saying.
John Miller said that on my airwaves. He came over and sat with me in the studio at WLG over at the Towson Sheridan. I have pictures. I have all the audio. He got very emotional. He brought his daughter with him, and he had a book that he had written. He was in Philadelphia doing at Veterans Stadium calling the Giants in 1997. Whatever that weekend was, July of 97, he came down to sign books at Greetings and Readings, and he came to my studio, and it was a big deal. He was live on my air, and I queued up the Peter Angelos, what Peter said about him at the barn, and he started to sob. I've witnessed this stuff. Like, I'm not making this up. Like, no. this is my experience with these people and Peter. And at that time, Peter came out to the barn and sat with me drinking to justify getting rid of John Miller. So my conversation with Peter had a lot to do with John Miller, and I had a lot to do with free speech, and had a lot to do. You're not paid to be a representative of the Baltimore. Go listen to it. I mean, it's his words. It's his philosophy about the broadcast. And Palmer has known this forever. Jim Hunter was subjected to it. Fred Mann, for all of them, but it's way worse with the kid. I mean, the kid is clearly Kevin Brown being off the air about a Tampa comparison that compares bad to good. And then Dan Connolly reports that they were all banned from saying the words Manny Machado, Buck Showalter, Chris Davis, Dan Duquette, Adam Jones. They were not allowed to in any way. Zach Britton. They weren't allowed to discuss any of the past.
You can't do your job under those circumstances, for sure. And that's the sad part of this whole story. You can't. Freedom of speech is. That's why we're here. This country was founded on because of oppression, oppressive tactics and measures, and You got to be able to speak your mind, regardless of your occupation.
Well, I'm just wondering on the whole, and now Palmer's got COVID, and I'm going to write a letter to Jim. Hope he's feeling better. Dave Johnson showed up on TV and Melanie Newman on Wednesday night, and the signs and them throwing people out, and the signs were all over TBS. They were all over the Astros broadcast. What's really happened now, the hits out of Major League Baseball, right? Like all the broadcasters on all, every team broadcaster, go watch Twitter. Susan Waldman on Yes. Anybody who broadcast, Al Michaels banged in on John Angelos on Wednesday. So like anybody who has a mic, this is an indictment of play-by-play sports. It's an indictment of the coziness of ownership and this Pleasantville broadcast that's gross. But here's the weird part, Dan, because I want to make this personal and local, okay? I watched the game on Tuesday night. The Felix Bautista meltdown happens after all the free Kevin Brown. There were a lot of Astros fans. I mean, Astros fans travel now, right? Like, they're a big deal. Everybody's got a J.R. Richard jersey and whatever. They've won a lot, but they travel. When good things have happened in the Astros games the last couple of days, it's been noisy. And the meltdown happens. Bautista loses the game. Awful loss. I mean, name me a worse loss than Monday night. 25 games over 500. It's fine. Like
it was terrible.
It's an awful, awful, awful loss to give up a grand slam with your impeccable closer on a night when your owner's under siege.
You're up
on
by
a night
three
when
runs.
The broadcasters are clearly embarrassed to even be there, and they haven't had this kid's back, and they've covered it up for 2 weeks as a private business internal HR matter, and like all of, and they've been muted at every turn, in every way, and now the game ends. And they go to the post game, and Rob Long is sitting there looking like he's in the team store, wearing an orange Oriole bird, smiling. He was wearing the cartoon bird hat. He was wearing a hat in the post game, and he's smiling. And this is after Melanie Newman and Jeff Arnold couldn't call an inside the park home run, jaking it. Like, and this is after I read Dan Connolly telling me they're not allowed to say Manny Machado or Buck Showalter. I don't know how they got away with that last weekend. I guess they can piss on Buck now because he stinks and they're great, right? Because that's what they are. And I went to Twitter, and this is my experience. This is not a crack on Rob Long. This is not a crack on any of them personally, Ben Palmer, any of them. But if you're told you're not allowed to be negative in the moments after Felix Bautista gives this up, and you're me, Rob Long, it doesn't matter who it is, and you're told put the Oriole bird head on and smile and say we'll get him tomorrow and be upbeat. If that's the charge, that is completely opposite of what I was told by Peter Angelos at the barn in 1997 about why he fired John Miller. He fired John Miller, in his word. He fired John Miller because he didn't like the way John Miller looked. He didn't like John Miller's attitude. He didn't like John
didn't
Miller's
like him.
Hawaiian shirt. He didn't like John Miller's sandals. He didn't like John Miller's salary. He didn't like John Miller's agent, Ron Shapiro. He didn't like – it's broken. And John Miller, meanwhile, is a freaking legend. Everyone loved John Miller except him. He found that out, and he didn't care. He didn't care about anything. So – the old man says to me, he didn't bleed. He didn't bleed a little. He needs to bleed. He wasn't upset enough when we were getting our brains beaten in. His words. Go watch it on YouTube. And now Rob Long is smiling and upbeat and happy, 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 because he has to be, because he's not allowed to be like, what, you know, he's
right.
not allowed to act
what
like
just
a fan.
Happened? Right. Exactly.
He's not allowed to even say, this is a tough loss tonight. You know, this was a tough one. He's got to say, we'll get him tomorrow. I mean, I don't know what he says. And this isn't about me and Rob Long. Rob Long went on the air and attacked me on Wednesday. And here was his attack, that I told my employees that to never criticize Brian Billick. I'm like, Brian Billick was the least concerned guy with Brian loved criticism.
Of course he
Brian
did.
Would end every press begin every press conference by saying, what you got for me?
Right.
And would end every one of them saying, go have at it. Go have at it.
Go
Meaning,
have at it. He didn't care.
Say whatever you want. Like, like it's an unbelievable juxtaposition that in order to defend yourself in any way, if you're a broadcaster, you have to, and you're a wrestling fan, you have to stay kayfabe. You don't know what else to say. Like, and I don't know how you work under those conditions, which you pointed out, Al Michaels, me, John Miller. I mean, yeah. God bless Rob Long. I want him to feed his family. I loved his children. I love his wife. I hired him. I put him in this chair to do my job when I decided not to do it anymore. And he left on his own accord. I did not fire Rob Long. So, like, I'm not – this isn't about Rob Long. This is really about Jim Palmer because he's the one with the stones. He's the one with the credibility. He's the one with the Hall of Fame ring. He's the one that should stand up for all of them and say, we're not going on the air tonight. None of us. None of us. Because you've undressed us. How can we broadcast out of a mass? I could never do. Dennis, I'm in the business of doing this my whole life. I could never, ever do that to anyone with a microphone here. I mean, I just couldn't do it. Because I know they couldn't be comfortable doing it because I do it for yeah. I had it done to me at Sporting News.
Well, again, if those are the facts and if they come out as facts that they censored him and they cost him, they suspended him for what he said, it's Bush League and completely and totally unacceptable. That I would agree with.
I think as a not as a fan, because I'm more than a fan, as someone in the business and someone that's watched the broadcast every night, right? I've watched the Orioles. 92% of the broadcast I watch on television. I don't listen on the radio, but I watch on television. And it's been, I've said to my wife a few times recently, like, this sucks. Other than Ben, I'm like, I mean, and I think Melanie Newman's terrible, but she's not given the opportunity to not be terrible if this is what she has to do. If she has to be on the radio calling an inside the park home run that our player jaked a triple and pretending it, then I don't know what else is expected of the broad. This is about all of the broadcasters. This is about people who do this for a living and fans who buy in to the kayfabe that they're not getting Mean Gene Okerlund and Vince McMahon. I mean, I'm serious that's not what they're getting. And that's a real problem. It's a problem for the Ravens and Chad Steele. It's a problem for the industry. And clearly it's a credibility problem for Gary Cohen, for Al Michaels, for any of these guys who do this at a high level to step up right now and say, no one's tapping me on the shoulder and telling me what I can or can't say. Now we all know Roger Goodell will end your career quickly. Chad Steele ended mine just because he didn't like me. Nothing I even said. But they all have a power trip about all of it. And having worked in the industry and having been around Fox News executives back 25 years ago when they came to Sporting News about trying to get me to do a radio show like TV. Like, Dennis, I'll never forget that, man. My first day on the job at Sporting News Radio, it was 101 Sports then. And Brian Baldinger will tell you because he loves laughing about this because it was like the second time I ever met Brian. I met Brian and was getting to know you. And then 2 weeks later, we're going to do a show together. And I knew Brian from, you know, television or whatever, right? He wasn't even on television then. He wasn't like the star. It was 1999. And the first day we were going to do NFL Monster Monday at 101 Sports. So this is September of 99, like that. Yeah, 99 or 2000, somewhere in there. And I went up to Philadelphia. And the big executive that hired me flew in. His name is George Krieger. You can look him up. K-R-I-E-G-E-R. Good man. Nice man. Wonderful man. I mean, like, literally. But a guy who came, he was Kenny Albert's first boss and all of them at Fox. He was the founding executive guy with Murdoch and Ale, all the guys that started Fox Sports with Joe Buck and Terry Bradshaw. Kenny was on this week for my 25th anniversary, and he said the only ones that are left are him, Howie Long, Terry Bradshaw, and maybe Menifee were original 1994-95 Fox hires when Fox went into business. So George comes over to produce my show. He flies into Philadelphia, and he feels like he's got to do something. And I do this every day of my life for 10 years. I'm about to sit down with Baldinger. We're going to be fine. He literally, I swear to God, Dennis, he had note cards. And he was writing on note cards, hello, my name is Nestor Aparicio, and today is the first day of NFL Monster Monday, brought to you by Coons Baltimore Ford, here from NFL Films. And he's handed me this, and he expects me to read a script to start a sports radio show that I do every day of my life. And I was like, woo, I wouldn't do this every day. I wouldn't be coming in here. And Baldinger was chuckling and laughing. Baldinger would, if you ever have a beer with Baldinger, ask him about it, because you'll say, oh my God, Nasty was in the corner and this guy's writing his script. I thought he was going to lose his mind, man. You know, like Baldinger, I thought he was going to lose his mind. So I've seen that, man. I was in that room and I'm like, George, I love you. You hired me. You have to leave. Like, you cannot sit here. I can't work this way. I
won't. Of course you can't.
I'll just leave. I'll get in my car, go back to my radio station in Baltimore. You can take the contract. You know, like, I'm not going to sit here and work that way. And of course, it got worse. It never got better. They fired me on Christmas Eve. They paid me for 6 months, told me they're going to fly me to Chicago and fix things. I never saw them again. And that's just who they were. And I didn't fight with them a lot, but they hated me. From the minute they brought me in and gave me a microphone, they hired me to be what this is. And then the minute I came in there, take out the sound effects, do this, talk Patrick Ewing. We're doing golf today. Come on.
Not you. I know. Well, that's the nice thing about you having your own radio station and being self-employed. You can say what you want to say. And
boy, I had fun with you today.
You're not a puppet. You're not a puppet. You can speak your mind. And
was this a shoot interview? Was this like superstar Billy Graham doing a shoot
interview?
Yeah, man.
That's good stuff. No, it's unfiltered and raw. And that's the best kind of interview. You don't have cue cards. You're not a puppet. You don't have anybody pulling your strings, right? You can be true to yourself.
Yeah, but I'm reasonable, and if you're not lying to me, and you have facts, and you're a person of integrity, and you're willing to answer questions. I mean, the weirdest part about John Angelo's going off on Dan Connolly is when you go back and watch it, Dan just like, hey, what do you got planned for the team? What, you know, it was a real open ended, like, hey, what's going on with the leash? Let me tell you, it was like, well, you know,
not a good look.
It's just, this isn't that hard. I wrote a lot of really mean stuff to little John, but the truth is, go down, sign the lease, get your $600 million, come up here, put your feet up, start shaking some people's hands, take all the credit for the winning, and leave the broadcasters alone.
Right.
But he can't. He can't.
Okay.
He can't.
It's sad. It's a sad state of affairs, but we'll still root for the boys on the field.
First place. We should all be happy.
Still root for Brendan.
I want to be happy.
Well, you are happy. Like you said, you have your own radio station. And look, every job I've taken as general manager, it went with the understanding it's my ship. We can have a conversation, but you can't tell me who to fire. You can't tell me who to hire. I run my own show, and I couldn't do it any other way. That's why I've been with Coons for 18 years, because I got a great owner who gave me the ball and said, hey, just do good things with it. And you know what?
Well, he knows the spirit of you being a good human, right? So,
yeah,
like, there's
I,
a part.
But I,
where, like,
I couldn't have my hands tied, though. Regardless of my occupation, I couldn't
be
censored. Okay.
You've made mistakes. It. We've all made mistakes.
You make mistakes.
But there are mistakes of effort, and there are mistakes born
of
integrity,
course.
Strategy, intellect, logic, good intention.
Look, if you want cheerleaders for your team as your announcers, hire cheerleaders. That way we know it's going to be one-sided. But I don't know, just like John Miller, I go back to what John Miller said. I don't know how a broadcaster can do his or her job with their hands tied when he can't talk about. I mean, he was reading a script, wasn't he? He was reading. I don't know, man. This is just, it's mind-blowing is what it is.
Dennis, I'll leave you with this, because I've told you this story before, and I've told this story a lot, and it needs to be told again, especially now that I've been thrown out of the Ravens by Chad Steele, right? First time I ever met Art Modell, this is a God's honest truth, first time I met him, Kevin Byrne dragged me down to the Cygnet Tower, the little skinny tower that's right behind, like, City Hall. It's where they were, where their offices were up top, and it's where John Moog set them up when they got here, right, back in the day. This is before they, I think, it's before they played a game. I mean, literally, this was like that summer. I went down to meet Art, and I went into his office. He had a big office there overlooking, and he was still doing well then, you know, physically well, but sheltered and, you know, beaten up from the Cleveland thing. And he said to me, I've heard some things about you, Nasty Nesta. Let me tell you one thing, young man. Always be fair with me if your criticism is fair, because if you're not criticizing me, they'll never believe a word you say.
That's a good point.
That's what he told me.
That's a good point. Well, that's a good owner, too. Art was a good man.
Well, I've written about that in both of my books. I will take that to my grave because I really feel like at heart that's why I'm still here 31 years later, is because you believe what I say. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I've
Like,
made mistakes, and I haven't been a perfect person, I haven't been a perfect boss, I haven't been a perfect husband, I
well.
haven't been a perfect father, I haven't been a perfect partner in every case. But like, I 31 years, I'll stand by my track record against the track record of the Angelos family any day of the week. Any day of the week.
Who was? I remember I used to listen to broadcast by Sam Huff, and who was the quarterback?
Sonny, Sam, and Frank in the
Back
Redskins
when
booth.
they were called the Redskins, I remember
They
these
would
guys.
cheer for the team and they would annihilate the team in
They would
the
say, "Boy, these guys are really stinking it up today." You know, I
same
remember that vividly, and I thought, look, it was a great, and I guess they were playing the Ravens. I don't know who they were playing back then, but anyway, it was refreshing because these guys were telling the truth, and they were unfiltered, and they were raw, and you can hear them, and they would broadcast a great game because they were telling you the truth. So I think freedom of speech is a that's the biggest story here, to be able to speak freely without consequence. I mean, this is a country you can burn a flag and not go to jail, which is unbelievable to me. But anyway,
By the
it's a
way,
free country.
you've been to Maui once?
Yes.
I've told you, I've been to Maui twice. It's the most beautiful place in America. I mean, like, I've been all over this country. I've been to Montana, Yellow. I mean, it, but Maui as a place, just on a whole, as a place in this country, it's the best place I've been. I haven't been to
It's a
Puerto
beautiful
Rico,
place. It's a
haven't been to
beautiful place.
Kauai, and to see Lahaina destroyed like
It's a
that, and
shame. It's
a
a
place
shame.
I was 4 months ago with my wife. We went through our pictures, and I mean, Lahaina, man, Fleetwood's down there. I went into Fleetwood's, and they had all of this memorabilia, rock memorabilia, incredible stuff there. All the art down there, the tree, the sign, Jesus Save sign that Don Henley wrote about in The Last Resort, and I our hearts were broken on Wednesday night with important things, much more important
Oh,
than John
absolutely.
Angelos, you know. So,
Absolutely. Well,
well, let's go get him in Seattle this weekend.
all
All
right,
right.
man. Listen, I appreciate your time. We'll catch up with you again next week.
Thanks for having me on. Thanks for
My
all you do.
pleasure.
Thanks for the 25th anniversary, and I'll find you some gold watermelon. I'm
That was
talking to
a
my
lot
friends at
of
Wise.
fun. Well, that will take a next break here at 1570 a.m. WNST. We'll be back right after this.